Congregation, the scripture reading for this morning you will find in the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the book of Hosea, chapter 11. And in the New Testament, the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 2, the verses 13, 14, and 15. Hosea 11 and Matthew 2, the verses 13 to 15. The word of the Lord. Then Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed unto Balaam and burned incense to graven images. I told Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. I drew them with cords of men, with bands of love, and I was to them as they would take off the yoke on their yond, and I laid meat unto them. He shall not return into the land of Egypt, but the Assyrian shall be his king, because they refused to return. And the sword shall abide on his cities, and shall consume his branches and devour them because of their own counsels. And my people are bent to backsliding from me. Though they call them the Most High, none at all would exalt them. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Admah? How shall I set thee as Zeboim? Mine heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled together. I will not execute the fierceness of mine anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee, and I will not enter into the city. They shall walk after the Lord. He shall roar like a lion. When he shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west. They shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt, and as a dove out of the land of Assyria. And I will place them in their houses, says the Lord. Ephraim compasses me about with lies, and house of Israel with deceit. But Judah yet ruleth with God, and is faithful with the saints. And then Matthew 2, beginning with verse 13. And when they, that are the wise men from the east, who just had seen and worshipped the Lord Jesus, when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I have called my son. Thus far the reading of God's word. Congregation, in the city center in downtown Cairo in Egypt, a city of almost 10 million people, predominantly Muslim people. In downtown Cairo in Egypt, you will find a small confessional conservative seminary, the Alexandria School of Theology. And in the front of that seminary, there is a 7 feet high rock, a big stone. And on that rock, on that stone, is an inscription in English. Out of Egypt I have called my son. And when I was walking into the seminary with one of the instructors, I asked him, why this text? And he answered, "This is our only hope, Christ and him alone, our God and our King." And that brings us by the theme of this morning. Is Jesus your King? As we find it in the text words of the Gospel according to Matthew, in Matthew 2, verse 15b, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." Text words which are not always easy to understand. Is it that the gospel writer wants us to know that Christ fled out of Egypt when Herod attempted to murder him? Is it a part of the history, the life's history of the Lord Jesus, when he with Joseph and Mary were refugees? Refugee is a person who has been forced to leave their country or to escape persecution or war or unrest. As they crossed the border from Canaan to Egypt and stayed in Egypt as maybe we could say as immigrants, Egypt had always been a place, a welcome place for refugees, for foreigners, for the Israelites in the past. Abram, Genesis 12, due to famine. Jacob and his family, they stayed as immigrants, as strangers and sojourners. Jeroboam in 2 Kings verse 24 was a refugee in Egypt. Jeremiah, the prophet. Or is it that Matthew writes about the flight of Jesus, Joseph and Mary to Egypt under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that he remembers what the prophet Hosea in verse 1 of chapter 11 writes, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." But as we have just read Hosea 11, is Hosea 11 about Christ? Is it not Israel in that chapter that the Lord calls a child my son? And thus, are the words spoken in Hosea not different from the context and the circumstances than in the Gospel of Matthew? And sometimes you have that in reading young people, maybe in the New Testament, where the writer cites a text from the Old Testament and it seems a very different context. For example, Romans 1:17, "The just shall live by faith," referring to Habakkuk 2 verse 4. And you wonder, what is the connection? And so here, in Matthew 2, what is the connection? Or as the gospel uses the word, what is fulfilled? What is fulfilled in Christ? Fulfilled is a very important word to the gospel writer here in Matthew 2, 3 times in this chapter. Verse 23, "that it might be fulfilled," which was spoken by the prophets. Verse 17, "then it was fulfilled," that was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. And also our text words, verse 15, "that it might be fulfilled," which was spoken by the prophet. But again the question, what is fulfilled? How do we make sense of this prophecy in Hosea and the fulfillment in Matthew? Why this text? Remember the rock, the stone at the entrance, the seminary in Egypt? That also we this morning, in these text words, "out of Egypt I have called my son," that we may experience personally whatever I have brought you to church this morning, whatever is going on in your hearts and life this morning, that you may pause for a moment. And that you may experience, reflecting on these text words, that Christ, that Jesus, He is my substitute, my Savior, my only hope, my King. And therefore I want to meditate with you, with the help of the Lord, on this short text verse in Matthew 2, verse 15b. Text verse that points us who Jesus is, first and foremost, that he is King. And these text words will show us three things. The opposition to Jesus. These text words will speak about God's grace and his love in Jesus. But also finally will have an invitation to remember Jesus as King. Congregation Matthew, the gospel writer, writes his gospel for readers who were familiar with the Old Testament. And he writes and he knows their knowledge of Scripture. Even if he quotes but one or two sentences of the Old Testament, his readers, they know the context of that passage. And usually a context that reminds them of their history, memories of the past. There's a certain place, passage of Scripture indicates more than a location in Scripture. It recalls memories and meaning. There are parallels. There's a certain similarity between what is quoted and the circumstances in which the quotation is placed. Context, analogy, parallels. Let me explain this. And some of those parallels, those analogies and context that we find in our text chapter. When you read particular the chapter 2, the verses 13 to 23 of Matthew. First, we can observe Joseph and a dream. It reminds us, children, it reminds us, yes, of Joseph of the Old Testament, who dreamed a dream. And related to that, Joseph, in our chapter, verse 13, Joseph and Egypt. And it reminds us also of Joseph, the son of Jacob, who lived in Egypt. And, moreover, both Josephs in the Old Testament and here in Matthew were acquainted not only with dreams and with Egypt, but also with kings in their lives. And what happened to when Joseph of the Old Testament died? Another Pharaoh arose who knew not Joseph and who killed all the little children, the baby boys in Exodus 1. And so here, in Matthew, King Herod in the New Testament is like Pharaoh a parallel. What are the examples? Exodus 2 verse 15. Pharaoh sought to kill the young Moses, and we read in Matthew 2 verse 13, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. But Exodus 2 verse 15, Moses fled and departed from the face of Pharaoh. And so we read in Matthew 2 verse 14, and he departed. Exodus 2 verse 23, and it came after many days that as the king of Egypt died. And so we read in Matthew 2 verse 19, then Herod died. And in the Old Testament, then Moses returned to the people of Israel. And so in Exodus 4 verse 19, return, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. And so we read here in Matthew 2 verse 20, saying, arise, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. It is congregation. As Herod was the anti-type of Pharaoh, so Moses is a type of Christ. Moses, who came to his people Israel to deliver them and to lead them. And so here Christ. And that is the main reason for the gospel writer. It is about him, the Messiah, the King of the Jews. Jesus is King who comes, who redeems, who leads and cares. Do you see that in your life? And pause for a moment this morning. Whatever is in your heart and mind, in your situation, your circumstances, but do you see in your life Jesus who came and who comes, who redeemed and redeems, and who led and leads, and who cared all those years till this very moment, that he alone is king? Because congregation, we have to be honest this morning, it is one of the two. And that Matthew sets forth in chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east came, and they asked for the king of the Jews. That is the contrast here. It is Herod, or it is Jesus. It is Herod, a king, a worldly king, a political figurehead, one who murders and lets children die, and one who is supported by the religious people of the day, the religious establishment. They know the scripture. They can cite the scriptures effortlessly. Or it is Christ. It's one of the two. Because this claim that is made about Jesus, the king, gives opposition and hostility. And the gospel writers made that very clear in their opening chapters. Not only Matthew. And keep in mind that the gospel writers had much material to write from. But led by the Holy Spirit, they are selective what they write and reveal most and foremost who Jesus is. As we have, for example, have been reminded in the gospel when Jesus was in the temple with Joseph and Mary and Simeon. Simeon sold already this child. Jesus is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and as a sign which shall be spoken against hostility, opposition. And so here in Matthew, King Herod and the religious establishment, Jerusalem, is greatly disturbed. They are troubled. And later with Jesus' own preaching, he did not preach, ask me, young people, your philosophical questions and I will answer them. Or I will show you the way. Now go and do your best. But he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And therefore, he was opposed by many. When he claims sovereignty over your and my life, he is king. He deserves complete allegiance. Does he not say, if anyone would come after me, let her deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Because congregation, it is one of the two. Or there is terror and there is anger, there is opposition in your life to him, as we see by Herod and by the religious establishment. And remember, with all their knowledge of scripture and with all their piety, they never went to Bethlehem to see Jesus and to worship him. Or you kneel down, bow down before him. You surrender. The natural response who Jesus is then and now is this resentment in the heart. Because you want to be your own king in your own life and destiny. Or by grace, you may fall down and worship him. As we see by the wise men from the east, meeting Jesus. Outsiders, outsiders. They bowed their knees and presented gifts unto him. Gratitude. Gratitude for who he is. He is my king. Where are you this morning? Where are you this morning? There is no indifference. There is no indifference. The apostle reminds us in Romans 8, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, but to the spiritual minded, life and peace. And therefore, when you by grace may know of this life and peace for Christ's sake, having surrendered to him, and remember, for by grace you are saved through faith, not out of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And yet there can be this residual resentment in your heart and life. When the Lord answers prayers, but a week later you have forgotten that, and you think you can figure it out all by yourself. Or when there is the Lord's Supper. And maybe you know those times in your life that it seems that heaven is so low, is so experienced. When a shepherd king, in his infinite tenderness and mercy and grace and his overwhelming love to you, and so undeserved. But now, it seems so distant. That you know something, what the Apostle Paul writes, the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. When there is a backsliding in your life. And we have read it from Hosea 11. That the Lord has to testify of his people. My people are bent to backsliding from me. That you forget with all that you have received in your life, out of mere and sheer grace. But you forget him. Backsliding in your life. But then. But then, which brings us by our second point that speaks about God's grace and love. Because we still have this outstanding question. And the outstanding question, how do we make sense of the prophecy in Hosea that is fulfilled in Matthew concerning out of Egypt I have called my son? What is then fulfilled? Well, congregation, when the gospel writer uses the word fulfilled, it simply means to fill up, to make it complete. As we have seen from the gospel of Matthew in our chapter, in the verses 15, 17 and 23, that Jesus was filling up the Old Testament, fulfilled, made it complete. But there is more. There is more than that. It reveals, it brings something to light that is previously in the shadows. And Matthew, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, looks back and sees an analogy, a correspondence between the history of the nation of Israel and the history of the Messiah, of Christ, of Jesus. And therefore, let us turn for a moment to Hosea 11. A congregation, if we want to summarize the book of Hosea, the message of the Lord, we may say that it speaks of God's unchanging grace and faithfulness towards Israel's unfaithfulness and backsliding. And does not the Lord attest through the prophet Hosea that Israel departs time and time again from the Lord? Unfaithful. Backsliding. And yet that it is the Lord who always looks after his people. Undeserved faithfulness. And that is proclaimed here in chapter 11 of the book of Isaiah. And how does the prophet do this? He reminds the people of Israel, he reminds the people of old, of their own history in Egypt, in the Exodus. And so, Matthew brings to mind this chapter of Hosea by quoting verse 1, but keep in mind, the informed reader, with all the knowledge of Scripture, they know that verse 1 stands for the entire chapter 11. It stands for the whole context, the meaning, this memory. And so when we read Hosea 11, verse 1, when Israel was a child, then I loved him, and I called my son out of Egypt. Thus how does the Lord see his people? As a child that he loved. And did not Moses proclaim in Deuteronomy 10, only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Congregation, there was nothing in that people. It was free, grace and love of the Lord. Did you ever wonder? Did you ever wonder, why did the Lord come to me with his word? Why did he set me apart through baptism? Why was it that the Lord used his word and showed me my sins, but also that Christ became my beloved? Why me? It is love of the Lord. When Israel was a child, I have loved him. You know, says Hosea to Israel, and we hear it this morning, centuries later, you know how this love of the Lord was visible in the life of Israel? The Lord reminds them, from verse 3 and following, I told Ephraim also to go. I told them to walk, taking them by their arms. I took them in my caring arms, and I drew them with cords of men, with bands of love. Drawn to me, says the Lord, with cords of love. And I was to them as they that take off the yoke of their yons, meaning I took away their distress that pressed them down. And I laid meat unto them, saying, it was I that fed them and strengthened them on the way. Such was the grace and the love of the Lord to his people, despite all their unfaithfulness and backsliding of Israel at the time of Hosea. He points them from Israel's own history to the faithfulness of the Lord. That it was the Lord, time and again, Hosea says to Israel, who draws to himself with cords of love, who takes away my distress, who drives away my night. Does not the Lord testify by Jeremiah, I love thee with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee? And where was that love of God's love now most displayed? Where was that grace and love of the Lord now most seen? Let's then turn for a moment back to the Gospel of Matthew. As the Gospel writer shows in the opening of his book, the King of the Jews. So he ends his Gospel with pointing to the ultimate reason why out of Egypt I have called my son. When he points to Christ on the cross. And we read at the close of the Gospel of Matthew that it was written over his head, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. a dying Savior for dying sinners on the cross. It is the most definitive answer who Jesus is. There he hangs for one who is burdened by the weight of sin. Also this morning, with shortcomings, one with backsliding, one with unfaithfulness. Congregation, you are welcome at the cross of Christ, the display of God's love. Bunyan writes it so very vividly in his Pilgrim's Progress, that on that place stood a cross, and a little below, in the bottom, a sepulchre. And so I saw, says Bunyan, just as Christian came up to the cross, his burden loosened from his shoulders and fell from his back and began to tumble and continue to do so until it came to the mouth of the sepulchre where it fell in, and I saw it no more. Do you see God's love in Christ this morning, coming out of Egypt? Your only hope, your only substitute, your only Savior, your King. Oh, take refuge now. The Lord shows so his grace, what he's doing already in Hosea 11, when he pleads with his people. How shall I give thee up, O Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? My heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled together, and I will not execute the fierceness of my anger, and I will not return to destroy Ephraim. Congregation, it is that the Lord stands before us this morning through his words, and he pleads with you. And he entreats us. And he implores with each of us. And let us know, I will not execute my anger. And I will not return to destroy. How shall I give you up, says the Lord? Congregation of Burkesfield, children, teenagers, young adults, parents, grandparents. The Lord, please, how shall I give you up? People would have given up on such an unfaithful and backsliding and forgetting people. But it is God who gave everything that he had, his Son, for a people that did not deserve anything. And therefore Jesus fled Herod and went to Egypt. It brought to a climax the work of deliverance that began in Exodus of Israel and is now came to completion, fulfilled at the Exodus of Jesus. And that is why Matthew can write that it was to fulfill that was spoken by the prophet, out of Egypt I have called my Son. Whereas the first Israel, God's Son, deserved God's wrath, as we do too, by nature, because of our rebellion and waywardness. But God beholds the finished and complete work of Christ on the cross. And when he sees his Son, he says, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. God sent his Son to do himself what his people could not do for themselves. And that is what the gospel writer does under the leading of the Holy Spirit, by an analogy, by a parallel. And he applies the context of God's covenant people and text of Hosea to Christ, that it is Christ who went into exile in order to deliver those who are in exile. That it is Christ, the faithful and obedient one, over against Israel, the unfaithful and disobedient one. That it is the gracious and loving Lord who brought his people out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, as we heard this morning. And he goes before them, and who cares for them on the way to the entire wilderness journey. And so Christ himself, this morning, calls a people, such as you and me, who by nature refuse to repent, who refuse to return to the Lord, and want to serve other kings but God, but for a backsliding people, Christ was called out of Egypt. That Jesus is moved with compassion. And he says in his word, I will teach you the way that you should go. I will carry you. When you pass through the waters, I, says the Lord, will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. And at times, he carries you in his arms, even when you not always see it. Maybe you know that story of a man. Once he was dreaming about walking through life on a sandy path with the Lord, and he noticed always two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and one to the Lord. But there were many times also when he looked back in his life, there was only one set of footprints, and particularly in those times that were the most challenging in his life, and sometimes the lowest and the saddest times of his life, and it really bothered him. And he questioned the Lord, and he says, Lord, thou hast promised that in following thee, thou would walk with me all the way. But I have noticed in the most troublesome times of my life, I see only one set of footprints. I don't understand why. And it seems that I needed thee the most. Would thou leave me? And the Lord replied, my son, my precious child, I love thee, and I would never leave you. And during your times of trial and sufferings, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. And when it seems that the way is too much for you, he strengthens the weak. In the brokenness of your life, maybe broken relationships, or strained or struggling marriages, I heal, says the Lord. I heal of that pain that you bear in your life. I heal of that grief and sorrow and struggle. And maybe no one knows. When your love for him, who loved you first, when that love of you is faint and feeble, he says this morning, I will draw. With bands of love. And so Hosea was looking back in his time, who the Lord was for his people, called out of Egypt. And so Matthew looked back in his time, who Christ is for his people, called out of the house of bondage. And this morning, do you not read in amazement that it might be fulfilled, which the Lord has spoken through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I have called my son. Lord, for me? Going as a refugee? Being called out of Egypt? For me? To deliver me from the bondage of sin? For me? To carry me through life? Despite who I am before thee, and yet drawn with loving kindness, cords of love, He carries my burden that presses me down so many times. Because out of Egypt, I have called my son. Here is a king. Here is Jesus, a willing Savior, a ready Savior, a ready substitute, a strength, a refuge. It is He who will be our strength and refuge proof in all distress, a present aid. Congregation, before we go home, our last point briefly. Remember an invitation that Jesus is King. Because when the gospel writer emphasized what is fulfilled in Christ, he stresses to remember, to be reminded who Jesus is. And therefore I leave you this morning with three considerations. First, hearing this morning of King Jesus, remember that at the name of Jesus, every knee, also every knee present here this morning, should bow. When Herod was hearing about Jesus, he turned into anger and terror. And the religious ones, they did not go to Jesus. And you. And you. At this morning, not in Cairo in Egypt with that stone, but here in Bakersfield. And we have seen something of that rock, that rock of salvation, which is of infinite value compared to the weight of that stone in Egypt. And yet much lower than 7 feet. Christ who humbled himself and meets you where you are, right now. And for those he came out of Egypt. Then I ask you, when we have considered this text, out of Egypt I have called my son, and I ask you, why this text? Why this text? Shall you then not answer? Shall you then not answer with such a willing and ready Savior? Will you not answer, He is my only hope? He is my light, my strength, my song, this cornerstone, this solid ground, firm to the fierce drought and storm, when heights of love, when depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comforter, my all and in all. Secondly, when you may confess this, who He is for you, if you may confess this by grace, is it then too much what the Lord commands us in the book of Exodus? And I think that is the practical implication of Jesus coming out of Egypt, the only Savior, this King. When you know personally, and maybe many in this congregation may confess that at the Lord's table from time to time, but this practical and relevant implication what the Lord commands us, where He says, you shall not oppress a stranger, for you know the heart of a stranger, seeing that you were strangers in the land of Egypt. This is why, remember, be mindful. We are cool. We are cool to treat foreigners and refugees and strangers as citizens in our own community. Do you have a heart for the outcast in this world? Do you offer them compassion? Do I have to remind you that God's people were one time foreigners ourselves, as the apostle reminds us? That in that time, that when you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now, in Christ Jesus, you have sometimes who were far off made nigh by the blood of Christ. And therefore, the apostle reminds us in Hebrews 13, do not neglect the hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember, be a welcoming congregation. And let us welcome foreigners and immigrants and those from the outside. Let us welcome them in our homes, in our church. And thirdly and last, and I think here is where the first and the second consideration comes together. On the last day, remember, the day of judgment, Matthew 25. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory. Not Christ in His humiliation who had to take refuge in Egypt, but the risen and the living Christ, the King in His glory, and every eye, also your eyes and my eyes, shall see Him. And when Christ gathers the nations before Him, Canada, Netherlands, United States, and then the king shall say to those who opposed Him, remember, He will say, I was a stranger and you took me not in. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. And He will say, depart from me. But He will also say to those who bow their knee, took refuge in Him, this King Jesus, this so very welcoming Savior for sinners and for saints. Come, He will say, come ye blessed of my Father. And why? They will be reminded, I was a stranger and you invited me in. Inasmuch as you have done to one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. And so, congregation, when you walk out this building this morning, this church, and someone will ask you, why this text? Why this text? Out of Egypt I have called my son. Will you not answer? He is my only hope. Christ and Him alone. My God and my King. Amen.